Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us coast to coast This Week in America. W.C. Lyon's first novel, Lazy Fairy Up, has been called terrific, a different kind of story told from a fresh new perspective. In his book, evil magistrates rule the planet. Well, who can stop them? A frightened, naive, frail young prince? His nursemaid? A widowed mother of 10 children? A collection of oddball geniuses? Can these people restore Lazy Fairy Up to its former glory? Not likely, but they're going to give it their best shot. A funny book about a deadly serious concept, freedom. W.C. Lyons lives in Maryland, has written numerous short stories, and author W.C. Lyons is our guest on This Week in America. Warren, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Howdy, America.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. I'm looking forward to talking about this. Lazy Fairy. I want to talk about where this title came from, and did I get correct, close to pronouncing it correctly?
Well, it was dang closer than most folks. Most folks just give up on it. the whole concept is freedom, and laissez-faire is if anybody took any French classes growing up, that laissez-faire means to just simply let go.
Yes,
and that's one of the key notions behind the book is just simply letting go, letting people what they want do what they want to do, and the Adam Smith, he's the father of laissez-faire economics, and he's one of the characters in the book, and he's an 18th century philosopher, and you'd think, oh, geez, how deadly dull must this guy be? And then I find out, apparently he's like the 18th century poster child for ADD, and there's all kinds of stories about him just kind of wandering around, getting lost, not paying attention, but he's obviously changed the world with what he thought and wrote about. So when I found out you could make Adam Smith funny, I was like, oh, yeah.
And probably never been presented in that context before. So this book is such an entertaining book, again, with a very serious topic. Our guest on the program is W.C. Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S. The book correctly pronounces laissez-faire, and I'll spell that before we get all this finished. If you go to his website, you can get the book and not have to worry about spelling it. It's W.C. Lyons, LYONS.com. His new website, shortstorydepot.com, and all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available at amazon.com, the usual places, the publisher, stratton-press.com. Talk about the title. What does the title mean to you? What when you took this concept and decided you were going to write a book around it, what does laissez-faire mean to you?
I wanted to choose a title for this world, a name for this world that meant something. You know, it wasn't just a silly name that you just made up that nobody can pronounce. So I made up something real that you can't pronounce. But the whole idea of just laissez-faire, just letting go, just letting people do what they want to do, and this idea that we're also bound up under a very oppressive government. And, you know, you hear so much about this stuff on the news. You know, yeah, Trump said this, and Hillary said that, and Joe Biden said something we're still trying to figure out. And it all just gets so tiresome. I was really hoping that I could write a kind of a lighthearted story, like I said, about a very deadly subject and a deadly serious subject. And that was really the whole goal for the book, was to try to find some kind of middle ground for this. There's two more books in the series. One of them is pretty well written, and then the other one, is, I mean, it could need some, you know, editing and stuff. And then the other one's about halfway done. So it carries on from there. That the book ends a kind of a cliffhanger sort of thing. So there are answers to any unanswered questions.
Well, it's an interesting series that Warren has put together, W.C. Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S. I mentioned some of the characters in the beginning. You've got the prince, the nursemaid, a widowed mother of 10 children, sort of a collection you describe as an oddball geniuses, and you mentioned Adam Smith in this as well. Talk a little bit about the characters. Are there characters in the book that are recognizable to most of us?
The one thing that I've been impressed with recently, ever since, I guess, the 1980s, is how quickly a society can change. You know, it can go from, you know, a severe depression to great, you know, prosperity, and nothing flat. It really doesn't take very long. And I was trying to think, who else could possibly bring a society that's basically in the, you know, just maybe out of the dark ages, just barely, and who could bring that society like that into a new modern world? And the obvious answer to that was Nikola Tesla. And I don't know, most people don't know this, but wireless technology has been around since 1894, I think. Wow. 1894. And just the things that he was coming up with in the early part of the 20th century were just absolutely mind-boggling. He was just so far ahead of the curve with everybody and the way he thought and the way he imagined things. And he's really the one of the engines for this huge change. And the other one was the person that's been sent out to try to find, that the king sends out to try to find these people, thinks that having regular people run the government is the dumbest thing he's ever heard. So he goes out of his way to try to undermine the whole idea. And he ends up going out and picking all these people, really unlikely people, and thinking that if he shows up, they show up in front of the king, they'll just torpedo this whole idea of having people, regular people, run the government. And one of the characters in there is a farm boy named Tom Foolery. He's a bit of a Benjamin Franklin character, but I don't know, I didn't want to keep using, you know, recognizable people like that.
Yep, so, yes.
Yeah, but his last name is Foolery and his first name is Thomas. But yeah, and he's the engineer. He's the guy who actually gets his hands dirty. He's the person who actually organizes folks and gets them working and bringing, you know, bathhouses and water and clean, just a cleaner way of life. The whole city is just fetid. It's disgusting. It's dirty beyond belief. And how do you have to get all that cleaned up? Well, between these two and a couple of other people, Henry Bessemer was in there. You need steel to do a lot of this stuff. And Henry Bessemer had a steel plant, but he couldn't really do much with it because of all the regulations and taxes and this oppressive government. So when that went away, everybody was free to go do stuff. When they finally let go of the people, laissez-faire means let go, then that was what really the catalyst for being able to bring this society into and this whole world into a much cleaner, more prosperous, happier world. So that's...
That's such a fascinating answer as to how this whole thing evolved. And I want to pick up on that in a second. If you're joining us on the program, the name of the book is Laissez-faire by W.C. Lyons. I'm going to spell that now very slowly. And at the end, I'll do it again. It's Laissez-faire, freedom. Laissez-faire Freedom by W.C. Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S. The place to find all of this is at his website, wclyons.com. You can spell all of that, shortstorydepot.com. Get information on this and all the other short stories that Warren has written, and information on the sequels to this book that will be out soon. Amazon, stratton-press.com, all of those places. And I'll do it again at the end, and all this is on our website. You explained how this whole concept, you put all of this together with the characters. That's a very intricate. This is not like just sitting down and writing an essay. You've really developed this in a very creative way that gets our attention and gets our message across. It took research. It took a lot of thought on your part to make this this story come alive the way that you did that. Why did you decide to write the book? There was a lot of work that went into this.
And the frustrating thing is, you know, I kept there's a lot of deleted words. You know, you started at a certain point, it's like, no, that's not right. You started writing in a certain way, I hate this stuff. And finally, you know, I thought I found a good spot to try to start the story. It begins very quickly. There's a lot of things which have happened just before this, The first big action is what the new king decides to do after his parents have been murdered. What does he decide to do to the magistrates? What, strangely enough, what prompted this whole thing, I'm an ex-ballet dancer. And I went to the most interesting man's house in the world. He He's climbed active volcanoes. He's hitchhiked across the entire Eurasian continent with no money in his pocket. He's had to deal with the black market to get through various places. He used to have this Partridge Family type bus. I don't know if anybody remembers who the Partridge Family was.
It flashed, psychedelic bus. It flashed before my eyes. Yes, I do.
And he used to run tours down into Mexico. He actually was at some place in Mexico where there was he was camped beside a lake, and he was just suddenly very, very uncomfortable and knew that he had to move, and he tried to get everybody else there to move out of the way of the lake. And that night, what happened was an earthquake occurred, water reared up out of the lake, smashed on the shore, and killed everybody who didn't come with him. This guy is just an amazing dude. And the other thing he does, he's a painter. And he had this pink painting on the wall, and it was a painting of a fat ballerina who was smoking a cigarette and doing a pirouette and giving the world a finger at the same time. And I just thought that was like the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, now here's a woman who's not afraid to dance on her own terms. And that was really the catalyst for the whole thing. It started off being very much dance oriented, and there's some of that in there as well. It teaches strength, quickness, and poise, and a lot of other things. And the king takes advantage of that in a lot of ways. But it was basically the catalyst for it was that silly picture on the wall.
That's amazing how that sparked this idea that led to this book, Laissez-Faire, by W.C. Lyons, our guest on the program. Website's wclyons.com, shortstorydepot.com, all of this on our website. Book, of course, at Amazon, but you got to spell it. I guess you could put the author's name in and get to it a lot easier that way, but all the information on the website. Warren, as you were writing this book, so often when you sort of go out of your comfort zone and you try something new, you learn something about yourself, positive or negative, in this process. As you wrote this book, did you learn anything about yourself? Talents maybe that you never realized you had before?
Well, I think if anything, I probably discovered a number of learning disabilities. I still can't type my way out of a paper bag. I mean, I've typed a lot of stuff, and I still can't type very well. My ability to fathom a computer and a website stuff is just terrible. I was surprised by how dogged I was about it. You know, I mean, you come in and you sit down at the computer and the thing I love about writing, the thing I really like about writing is I don't know what's going to happen either. So you sit down and you just kind of let the story tell itself. You start going in a certain direction and you just, you know, sit there. It's like, well, what would this person do? You know, you think about the characters. Everything has to be driven through the characters.
Yes.
You just start just throwing clever stuff. It just doesn't work. But if you've developed the characters well enough, they'll tell you what happened. They'll tell you what's going to happen next. And I just really love that aspect of it, that everything was a surprise to me.
What was the best part of writing this for you? Was it the character development? And you developed them so well, they told you where to take the story. It's like tapping you on the shoulder, Warren, let's go in this direction.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. I'm sorry, ADD is kicking in or something. What was the question again?
what was the best part of this? I was talking about character development. It sounds like that really was fun for you to develop these characters, and not only develop them but listen to them.
That was an awful lot of it. I felt like they were just kind of standing around the room with me sometimes. I think just watching it develop and eventually becoming fearless enough to say, no, this part is terrible. It just needs to get deleted and thrown out and put something else better in that's going to be more character driven. And I've written a lot of things before this that I never attempted to get published because I just knew they weren't up to snuff. But the short stories really, really encouraged me about I can do this, you know, and this was accepted by a guy named Matt Fortney. These aren't things that I just simply wrote and put up someplace, but these are things that were read by a professional. He was more than happy to say, no, you can't have these stories here. And every time I wrote a story, he was like, oh, great, another good story. And there were a couple times I won the Story of the Month Club and that kind of thing out of all these other professional writers that were coming in. So that was a real affirmation. And just the idea that the words just keep coming.
Yes.
That was a big deal.
It sounds like you really enjoy writing. Do you approach it that way, or is this just sort of something you try to fit into the day when you're working on an idea? I get the impression it's not just sort of another job. This is really a love affair you have with writing.
It is. The thing I do hate about this whole writing thing I know a guy. Oh, I know a guy. You're right. I know a guy who knows a best-selling New York Times author. And I just ran into the guy again a couple days ago. We were talking about writing. And so much of this is way beyond writing. I mean, even this New York Times bestseller has to do his own promotional work. You know, I mean, it's just...
Yes.
I was just flabbergasted by it. I was really caught flat-footed by the whole thing. And I wasn't really... prepared in any way to try to build a fan base and all that stuff. So I think that's where the Short Story Depot thing, I hope, is going to come into play, that it'll be easy stuff, just a couple of dollars for a story. And I'm hoping that, you know, and you can add stories to this. I can run a short story in a couple of weeks. So, you know, putting more stories on there will be an easy thing to do. But, yeah, it's I'm surprised at how much work it is beyond the writing. That was the thing, because I really enjoyed the writing.
Just sit in
the room.
And I hear that often. That's just part of it, isn't it? Once you've written, that's the creative part. And now there's the whole publishing. That's like a whole business marketing aspect, isn't it, that you have to go through? Was that the biggest surprise you had in terms of publishing was, okay, now I've written it, but now the real job begins. I have to get people interested in reading it and buying it.
Yeah, and it was also surprising to me that, you know, unless you're Stephen King or, you know, Clive Cussler or one of the, you know, J.K. Rowling or somebody, the publishers don't do a whole lot of promotional work for you. And I know Stratton Press, they're the ones who published the book, and they have a lot of bad press on the internet. But I'm telling you, it's for what they charge, you know, and for what other places charge, and what you still have to do once you get charged all this money and still have to go do this stuff, all of a sudden Stratton Press is starting to look like a pretty good bargain.
There's a lot of work that goes into this, isn't there?
It really is. I'm just disgusted by the whole thing.
It's a whole different world out there that so many people find out when they get this dream fulfilled of being able to publish a book, and they find out, this is really the start of the process here. I want to give you the information, the couple minutes we have left, and where you can get copies and follow all of Warren's writing. Our guest is W.C. Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S. The book that we're talking about, Laissez-Faire, that's L-A-I-S-S. E-Z-F-A-I-R-I-A, Freedom. The book is available at all of the usual places. Send you to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. The publisher, Stratton-Press.com. His website's wclyons.com. And the new one, Short Story Depot, DEPOT.com. A great place on his websites to keep up with when the new books are coming out, when a new short story has been added, probably the best place. And you can order the books from there as well. You mentioned you've done all of this, and you consider yourself, in an email you sent to me, as a technophobe. From a technological standpoint, what's this been like for you in dealing with all of the technology that seems to be updated on a daily basis, just when you figure it out, they change it again?
Well, it happened just this morning. I was looking on the website, and I was like, what on earth is all of this? I've got to figure it out all over again. The things that I've enjoyed, you know, doing in my life, you know, playing golf or being a ballet dancer or things, they were things that came pretty easily to me. You know, jumping up in the air, turn around a couple times, you know, doing 10 pirouettes.
Oh, yeah, real easy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but it came easily to me, so I enjoyed it. But this stuff here, I have absolutely no intuition for it at all. I mean, I think that people who are good at it, it's like, well, you go here, and you don't know where to go. Well, you obviously go here. It's like, that's not at all obvious to me. I see what these cursed things are doing to people, these cell phones, and I don't even carry one in my pocket anymore. I've just kind of given up on an awful lot of technology. I just think so much of it is counterproductive and harmful to people. I try to keep it all at arm's length, but now that I'm like, you know, knee deep in this, knee deep.
It's nice to have it maybe hide it when it's no longer necessary in your life, or take a break from it from time to time. I've got about a minute or so left here. What do you hope the takeaway is from people reading Laissez-Faire? Because it's funny, it's enjoyable, it's creative, it's entertaining. It's also got a very important message, the subtitle being freedom. What do you hope the takeaway is for readers after reading this?
It seems to me people guard what they say so much that you never really hear what people actually think. That's my opinion anyway.
Yes.
And I think that there's certain things that we all agree on, you know. Having people tell you what to do all the time is just not cool. Just being a busybody in other people's lives is just not cool. And just telling people, just let go, laissez-faire, leave me alone. And I'd like to think everybody can agree on that. And I was hoping to try to create some kind of thing where, you know, it doesn't make any difference who you voted for or what you think or, you know, what you think of anything. I'd like to think there are just certain basic things that we can all pretty much agree on. And I was hoping the book might mend some fences.
Well, I think it will. And you've got a continuation books 2 and 3 out there. Will there be a 4, do you think? How long will the series go?
I don't really know.
Okay.
I'm thinking about trying to go a more traditional route with the publishing, so I'm not sure how long it's going to take to get those out there that way. But I'm learning how to write query letters and all sorts of things and writing query letters and hooks and all this other stuff. It's a whole different ballgame than writing a novel or a short story.
We'll just enjoy what's out there. Laissez-Faire, Freedom by W.C. Lyons. You'll find the book entertaining, and the good news is you finish it, you go on to 2, you finish it, you go on to 3, and possibly go on to 4 and more. And you can be entertained by your short stories on the newest website, shortstorydepot.com. His website for where you'll find information on everything as well is wclyons.com. Book at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, usual places, publisher stratton-press.com. Warren, it's been a pleasure having you on the program. Hopefully we can do this again, continue our conversation. Congratulations on the success of all of this, and we look forward to more from you, and we'll be checking out the website. Thank you for joining us.
Rick, you've made this really, really easy, and I appreciate you, this has been fun.
Thank you. It has been fun, and all of Warren's work, including Laissez-Faire Freedom, you'll find on his website, wclyons.com, the new one, shortstorydepot.com, and go to our website for more information, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.